phrases. Go ahead, Jerry.
I got my hip was so bad last week. I just barely got in the door here, and I'm still hurting pretty bad. But it is getting better.
Well, amen. Amen. Not everybody's moving quick and sassy this morning, huh?
God, for all the people that obey Him to write the word, and for God for preserving it for us.
Amen. Amen. Sherry, what's your praise?
I got to go to Dallas and see my youngest daughter and spend some time with them, and it was really nice. And Thanksgiving, this is the first Thanksgiving I've cooked since my divorce, and it turned out really nice.
Okay, good.
And just for answered prayers.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd just like to praise God that all of our family are right here together, and we have the chance to spend time together.
Amen.
All the time. Thanksgiving, holidays, birthdays.
Yeah.
All get
there. Amen.
Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday, and I usually cook every year.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is just the vast, what do you call it? Total of all the things that we have so much to be thankful for. It's just incredible. I mean, to live in this country, to prosper, to get to see the things that we see and enjoy the things that we enjoy. Folks, we live like kings, and we do, every one of us. I mean, the poorest person in this church lives like a king compared to the rest of the world. And I know where that blessing comes from. All good things come from one source, and He's our Father. Sherry, what's your praise?
One of the girls that I brought with my daughter, I think it was last week or the week before, flipped her Jeep. It flipped 5 times, and she walked out of it, and the Jeep is completely smashed.
Yeah.
And she called me and said, I think I'm ready for those basic Bible truths.
Amen.
I was just thinking about that.
It's okay, you cut her off. She'll mind.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Daryl.
So, this year I was reminded of when I was surrounded by all my family, not all of my family, because of course there's quite a few more than what showed, that I'm in their house eating dinner with them, and prior to going to prison, I wasn't allowed anywhere near there, you know, so I was, that remembrance of the forgiveness and the family getting back together, and then time spent with them this weekend. We did something a little bit different this weekend. Instead of staying at my sister Sherry's, when we finished watching the football game and all that, we went over to my sister Diana's. She's been by herself. So we stayed there all night and all day the next day to come in with my sister Diana. Had a blast. Out in the middle of nowhere. She lived 20-something miles in the sticks. In the sticks. But anyway, it was a real blessing. And
sticks are good, man.
Yes. It was awesome to remember. Our family used to pretty much, AU that way.
Amen. Who else? Josh.
I'll praise the Lord for a safe trip to Waco and back. No traffic, no issues, no problems.
Wow.
It was foggy and raining the entire time.
That's no problem.
Well, I got to praise the Lord for this was the first Thanksgiving in a long time. I'm trying to even remember how it's been so long, but all 6 of our adult kids were there, and pretty much all the grandkids, and so we had a house full. But it was really wonderful. It was such a blessing for Lisa that gets to see everybody together, and she. She's running around like a chicken with her head cut off, serving and cooking and doing all the stuff that, you know, how you ladies get all wrapped up in that. And she didn't really have the stamina and health to do that to the level that she did this week. And when Zach and Jenny left yesterday, within an hour, she came down sick, and she's home in bed sick. But I'm thinking, praise the Lord, we got to have that time. And that God saw her through it and she was able to experience the whole thing and enjoy it all and do the thing that she loves to do, which is serve. She's quite a servant. So you, most of you know that by now. But she is. Just really a wonderful time. Who else? I know there's a bunch of other praises there that would ought to be. Mike?
It's been financially very difficult for us, and I went out to look for a job last week, and I found one that will allow me to do my business and the job at the same time. So I just praise God for the opportunity to have work, and you know, and it'll pay enough to get us through at least 6 months.
Amen.
Until things get back stable again. So.
Amen. I mean, I'm going to actually be talking about that, not, you know, specifically, but I'm going to be talking about that later today. Or 2 weeks ago, I preached about the truth of giving. And you know how I feel about giving. It's important. It is essential. I love to give. And until you do come to the place in your life where you love to give and you're a generous giver, you're missing out on big part of blessing in life. And but this week I'm going to talk about how you're going to get the resources to give from. And it's amazing how much God has to say about that. Amazing. The Bible is just packed with it. So we're going to talk about it, but not the way the TV preachers do. We're going to tell you the truth. And we're going to do it with the right motive and with the kind of joy that ought to be present when we do it. But anyway, so I'm thankful for God's word so much. It's just incredible. It never ceases to be amazing. Other praises. Tiffany.
I've been without work for a couple years now because I was trying to stay at home wife thing. Well, I'm realizing that Marvin was struggling with paying the bills on his own. So I got a job at a school in the cafeteria, and that lasted like 2 days, and they said that they thought it was too fast paced, it wasn't the job for me. So I started searching, and I love children, I can't have kids of my own, and next thing you know, a church daycare calls me, and last week was my first week there, and it's going really good there.
Amen. Not only a job, but a paying job, and it's going well. Yeah. Now, that's a praise for sure. Tony, what's your praise, buddy?
I got two. Thank God, one, thank God for forcing me to come here. Not forcing me, but waking me up to come here today for my baptism and everything.
Amen.
And number two, on Thanksgiving, I didn't realize it, but a Christmas movie came on. And me and my family, like 10 years ago, used to gather around the TV and watch. And my mom's dying. So I just want to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to step back and realize what kind of family time I had on Thanksgiving, because that could be snatched away like that for
her. Amen.
So I really want to thank the Lord for like making me realize what it is.
Amen. That was awesome. Thank the Lord making you thankful on Thanksgiving. Yeah. It just kind of sounds like the Lord, doesn't it? Yeah. It just sounds like something He'd do, for sure. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Christine, go ahead.
So it's kind of funny, you know, we have rain Monday, Tuesday.
Boy, did we have rain, yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Josh and I had planned to smoke all the turkeys on Wednesday. That is the only day it did not rain, and we were able to have wood that was dry enough to smoke all these turkeys and hand the shoulders for everybody, and it was like, you kind of knew that I needed you not to let it rain today. So Josh and I both laughed about it. So we're like, the one day out of the entire weekend it did not rain was the day that we needed smoked turkeys.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Except mine, it was still frozen.
Was it really? There's no way.
The dark meat was not done on mine, but I just popped it back in the oven. But they were still amazingly flavored.
I think I had
mine refrigerated. Which is good, because you got to
eat
my
plate. Yeah.
You know, it seems like that we want to wait till God does something really big in our life to praise Him. And He does some big things in our life. But God does so many little things in our life. He's involved in the details of your life. I mean, just, you know, making the weather work out just right. little stuff that, and he deserves praise for those things, all those things. Morning, Francis.
Hi.
You have a praise this morning?
A praise. That my turkey was able to be cooked, and it was very good. That Josh was here.
Well. Yeah.
To help me eat this wild turkey.
Yeah. All right.
On a 24-hour period, didn't it?
It was rough, man. It was. I do. I have another praise.
All right.
Coming here, driving here with my my grandson Daniel.
Yeah.
I have the radio station on, and he starts belting out with the song that was playing, and it was. I am who I am.
Yeah.
And I guess he learned it in either vacation, Bible school, or
I am
who I say I am.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cry. I mean, he's only 7, so.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's those little things I'm talking about. Some of those little things aren't so little.
No, that was huge.
Some of them are pretty big. Anybody else? Don't leave you out. Yeah, Marvin?
I want to be thankful for everything God has given me because I used to be really bad when I was younger. Used to be on the streets, didn't have anything. I left my family when I was 18. But God told me, you need to go back home. So I went back home. I was on SSI, of course. All my life, I was trying to find the perfect person. All my life. 35 years of my life, I finally found her at 35 years old. And I've been happy ever since. And I can't ask for more. People told me I wouldn't be able to work. They told me I wouldn't have a vehicle. People just put me down. But look at me now. I got a good paying job. I got a wife that loves me and I love her. I got a vehicle that's not having no problems. I mean, God has blessed me so many times, I can't even see straight.
Damn.
It's like, good Lord, how many more blessings you going to throw at me, dude?
They're still coming.
I mean, I can't. I mean, it's priceless.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. One of the things I told you a couple of weeks ago, this praise is one of the most valuable tools that we have. Praise is the proper way of witnessing. Praise the Lord. Be open. Be vocal. There are people that are just praise the Lord, just run around with their hands in the air and da-da-da-da-da. And just almost, it's kind of looks fake and it's, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. There's always going to be somebody messing up something good. But it's like, you know, sometimes Christian people overreact to what other phonies and fakes and, you know, do. I mean, you know, pretending to praise the Lord, pretending to be this and that. And so we swing the other way and don't want to do any of that lest we be thought of as they are. Don't let that happen. You praise the Lord.
Amen.
We don't care what other people think of us except for Jesus, frankly.
You know what, and I agree with you totally. Let the Lord judge whether he accepts their praise or not. It's not up to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I was saved in a very legalistic, very kind of strict Independent Baptist church. I wasn't saved at the church, but the pastor led me to Christ in my home. And I grew up in the Lord there and learned a lot of wonderful things there. And I learned some things that were wrong there and have corrected those. In the church where I was, you could say amen, but Mary probably would have just been, she'd have got some looks, you know. You know what that is. And you didn't dare raise your hands. I can't tell you how long it took me to be comfortable to raise my hand to my father in praise. Now, I'm not going to get stupid, and you've seen it, but the Bible says people raise their hands and praise the Lord. It's in there. You don't have to be ashamed to praise the Lord in this church. Now, if you get stupid, I'll tell you about it privately. I'll help you with it. But the praising the Lord is the greatest asset we've got. That's what makes people want to know what you got and what's happened to you that hasn't happened to them. And the Bible says to be ready to give an answer to those that ask you a reason of the hope that lies within you. And they do. You say, well, people aren't asking me. Well, that's probably because you're not praising the Lord enough. Because you praise the Lord, they will ask you what's going on. And then you can tell them. And what a blessing it is. Jamie, what's your praise?
My praise is, I was going to say, the Bible does say that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people.
Yeah, they're talking about the praises of Israel, yes.
And I was just grateful that we had a good turnout for Thanksgiving dinner. Or supper.
We did.
Or I think it was dinner.
It was in noon, so it was lunch, yeah. Yeah, I got to experience a little of that when I came and visited. But anybody else? Last praises. Yeah, Lisa.
Well, I had the week off for Thanksgiving, and I got to spend some quality time with my husband.
Amen.
And some of his family.
Aww. Oh, everybody together. Aww. That was absolutely that one. All right, Vicki, I know you have a praise, so I'm going to let you get going.
I also had the week off for Thanksgiving, and God blessed me to be able to spend some time with some really good friends, and I just thank God for my church family and all the people that have always been there for me in my life and helped God show his blessings to me.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? All right, Proverbs. We have been... How long have we been in Proverbs? What, 3 years now?
Four.
That long? Wow. Well, have you gained any wisdom going through Proverbs with us? True. There's so much wisdom. What we're going to do today is a little unusual. We're going to go jump over into chapter 30 because that's right about where we are. And we're going to read down through verse number... Let's see here. Six. We're going to go through the first six verses today and look at that. But Proverbs 30 is a little unusual because most of everything in Proverbs, we know it's written by Solomon. There are other things in here besides what Solomon said that are quoted. But this one, nobody seems to know who the people are that we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 30. Now, we get to Proverbs 31. That's all about, you know, that's about Bathsheba and the amazing woman she became after overcoming some really bad choices and mistakes in her life. Nobody in here has ever made those bad choices and mistakes in their life, right? Yeah. Well, this is not just the home of another second chance. This is the home of some of the third and fourth and fifth second chances for some of us. But anyway, I've studied and researched is what I can find about this. It's not conclusive what I found about the background of it. But we're going to read these first six verses because they're talking about the Lord and man, where the Lord is versus... You already know that God's thinking and God's ways are higher. How much higher? Higher than the heavens are above the earth, above our ways and above our thoughts. Is there, and Isaiah tells us that. God actually tells us that straight up as he's talking to Isaiah. But Proverbs 30, we're going to read these first six verses. And then as we go through the rest of this, there are so many different things in here. There's ants and spiders and swords and teeth and poor people and rich people and grabbing people by the nose. And I mean, there's every kind of subject matter in this chapter that, you know, you could do movies out of here. I mean, with just it's just amazing where all it goes. So we're going to talk about some of that, but first we're going to read these first six verses and try to learn some things. It says the words of Agur, and the pronunciations, by the way, on these names are different by different ones, and so we're going to guess at it, and your guess is as good as mine about how some of these things are pronounced. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, but there's no T, so it's got to be Jake, J-K, or just Jake, Jake. You know, in Hebrew, sometimes the words are got Jake, you know, with that thing that goes when you're speaking Hebrew. Let me tell you something, you go to Israel and you hear them speaking Hebrew, you're going to hear all kinds of that. It's that way. But so we're going to guess at this. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal, or Ucal. Now, to stop with that verse, Jewish tradition, Jewish teaching kind of centers in on this being this Agur being a name. Well, the word Agur, the meaning of these words is one who corrects, the corrector, the you know, things like that. And Jacob is, I'm trying to remember, I should have written it down, but it's not that important. Anyway, many of them believe that Agur is a name for David, and Jacob is a name for Solomon. And a lot of people don't agree with that because of other things that are down here, but that's probably a good guess as we're going to get until we can ask them when we get to heaven. We'll find out who they really are, because they're probably going to be there based on what I'm reading. So this is possibly the words of David to Solomon, prophecy that the man spake, and it was told to a man named Ithiel. And that name is once in the Bible, but it can't be this guy because the timelines don't match. And Ucal, which is not in the Bible anywhere else.
Ucal.
Ucal?
If you listen to the way they pronounce it, it's J-K.
Yeah, Ucal. Like I said, your guess is as good as mine. Every one of those Bible apps, they're going to pronounce it a little bit differently anyway. But but here's what he says. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. All right, so before we go on, what's brutish mean?
Like a bull in a china shop. Yeah.
Like a bull in a china shop? No. Well, kind of yes, but... What it means is stupid. It means stupid. He's saying, I'm more stupid than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. He's saying, I'm more like an animal without understanding than I am like a man. So people say, well, that can't be talking about Solomon. Or that can't be David. Then he goes in and say, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And because it says, I neither learned wisdom, they say, well, that couldn't be talking about Solomon. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I'm just looking at what it says here and what we can learn from it. He said, I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? He doesn't sound stupid now, does he? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And then he starts talking about things that we'll get into later. He doesn't sound so stupid. Why would someone who knows the answers to these questions, and he does, because verse 5 tells us he obviously does, how could someone refer to himself as being stupid and not having understanding, nor having learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Why would someone who says that of himself, but yet knows all this? How is that adding up? Vicki, what do you think?
I think he recognizes that God's ways and his thoughts are so much higher than above our ways, and compared to God, we are stupid and brutish.
Well, that's a pretty good answer, I think. What do you think?
If you're not full of pride, you have humility, and if you have humility, you understand there's so much more to learn. No matter how much you've learned already, there's always much more to learn.
Well, let me ask you about that. Now, I'm looking around, and some of you have been regular in this class for the entire process of Proverbs. And this is the second time that I've taught the book of Proverbs in this class years ago. I don't know if you realize it, but I've been teaching this class longer, about 3 years longer than I've been your pastor, and I've been your pastor for 20. So, you know.
I don't think the last time you taught it took as long.
I probably did. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was two or three years. But you're not going to teach Proverbs quickly.
No.
But you've been here through Proverbs. Some of you've been here through the whole thing, and probably not hardly missed class. Several of you. How do you see yourself right now? I know you've gained wisdom. You'll say so in a heartbeat. I know Josh is, and I've seen your life change. I've seen where you started, and I've seen you learn some of these things and start applying them, especially some of you who are in business for yourself. You've just seen some of these things, and you put them to work, and your life has just turned completely around in all kinds of different ways. But where does your view of yourself, where is that now? Jerry, you're one of those guys.
It goes back to something real simple for me. Scripture says, study to show thyself approved. That's how there's an end to it. So it's just something that just goes on and on and on.
On and on and on.
And that's the way that it strikes me, is that, you know, there'll always be more to learn. So as long as you keep driving forward on it.
Okay. A little more, a lot more. If 10 was knowing your Bible as well as David or Solomon, and they didn't have a Bible back then, but they had what they had. They had the voice. If 10 was knowing pretty much as any man on earth, where would you be in that scale of 10? Then your view of yourself?
2 or 3.
2 or 3?
Yeah. I've read it 22 times. I'd say probably about a 5 or 6.
5 or 6?
4.
4?
I learned every time I read.
You can't. If you know who Jesus is, and you know enough to be studying your Bible, you're not zero.
I was talking about as compared to the knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. I'm thinking I would really like to learn enough to get up to 2. And I don't think I'm probably going to live enough to make 2, long enough to make 2, but I might. You know, God sometimes teaches me a whole lot in a little time, depending on what the experience is that you have to go through. Jamie?
I've learned what Solomon is trying to teach us here, that the older we get, the more knowledge we have of what we don't know about the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's humbling, and knowing how stupid we are, how dumb things we've done in the past, and how all the vanity we had in our life is nothing compared to what God offers. Kind of like what Paul said, I am the greatest of all sinners. You know, he humbled himself. He didn't put him beyond what he's trying to preach.
You know, he's had a lot of competition for that since he wrote that. Clearly says that he that thinketh that he knoweth anything knows nothing as he ought to know.
I was really blessed with mentors that got me in the Bible very, very young. By the time I was 12 years old, I was studying Revelation. And I'm 69 years old. So I probably had 60 years of Bible study, and I'm still learning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't even put a number to it. I just thank God.
Well, there's something really interesting about Bible knowledge. One of the greatest blessings of that subject is that it doesn't you don't have to know a whole lot to get saved. If you did, there'd be a whole room full of lost people sitting here.
Amen.
I mean, you can look at yourself the way you want to, but the basics of Scripture are not so complicated, but what anyone who wants to know can learn them. You can learn the basics of Scripture. And how much more do we need to know?
Lots.
Well, we need a lot, but primarily your knowledge of God's Word is going to center around what God wants you to do for His glory with your life. Josh is out there running a business. Josh has also taken up the challenge of preparing himself to be a deacon at some point. We've learned that we don't do that quickly. That doesn't work out. But he's doing great. And what do you think God's going to teach him? That's kind of a main direction.
Patience,
humility,
kindness.
Well, what's a deacon do?
He serves.
He serves. There much in the Bible about being a servant?
There's lots.
Well, you can pretty well take it to the, you know, to the bank that God's going to teach Josh how to be a servant. He's going to teach him a lot of different things, but he's going to kind of park on the subject of being a servant, because what would God teach someone who was who he's calling to preach the word?
How to serve.
You're exactly right. Well, you must be picking up some already. Jamie, go ahead.
One of the things I've learned, Pastor, is that it's a pleasure to serve. Mm-hmm. You know, because when I first started that my deaconship, I was doing it for a different purpose, to serve with the Lord, of course.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later when I realized that it's a pleasure to serve God's people. It's not just serving, but it's a pleasure. It's just something you get to do for the Lord. It's not like, you know.
It's not something you have to do.
Right.
Yeah. Learning that there's the difference between get to do and got to do is a real special point in your life. When you realize it.
I don't know why. That's why we need to stay in the Word, though. The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding at the time we need the Scripture for what God wants us to do.
Yes and no.
No?
Yes and no. Not no, but yes and no. What we're reading about right here is every word of God is pure, and He's a shield to them that put their trust in Him. Add not thou to his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. People add to God's word all the time and don't realize they're doing it. There is a common thought that's been taught widely, actually. Let me go over here and find the scripture I want to take you to. We'll talk about it here. This is 1 Corinthians 2. It starts, what we're talking about, Paul is talking about to the Corinthians how he knows what he's telling them. Here's what he says. He says, we speak the wisdom of God, this is verse 7, in a mystery, even hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, and here's where the subject starts. Eye has not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Now, eye seeing and ear hearing and entered into a heart, that's talking about the natural processes of learning. That's how you learn. You see it, you learn about it, you hear what it's said about it, and you learn. The Bible says that man does not learn the things that God's prepared for them that love him through those natural processes. There's another way that comes. He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When this passage is commonly taught, almost across the board, it's taught that when at verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. People read that and they apply that to themselves and they become the us. And it says, we have received not the spirit of the Lord, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. It says the natural man doesn't receive this, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. And the conclusion that's taught is that the Holy Spirit, as you study the Word, is going to reveal the truth to you and give you the understanding you need. Sounds good? If that was true, every Christian would agree on everything in the Bible. If the Holy Spirit was giving us each the understanding. That's not what this is talking about. This us in verse number 10 is the apostles. The apostles have the mind of God and have been revealed to the apostles the mind of God, and they have delivered it unto us. And one of the things that they've delivered unto us is to study to show ourselves approved unto God. So the answer is yes and no. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us what we need to know through the revelation that came from the apostles.
Amen. We know that John 14:26, it says, I go and I send you another, the comforter of the Holy Ghost, to teach you and call to remembrance all
right.
The things I've said. That's Jesus speaking.
Yeah. And
so, and mainly what she's thinking is that the Holy Spirit will, as you serve others, we're talking about spirits,
yeah.
As you serve others in the biblical way, as you serve others in the spirit way, then the Holy Spirit will reveal to you many of the scripture in the life of the person that you're trying to
help. I never meant to imply.
Oh, I know. I know. But
what I'm saying is, don't get discouraged. Study, but in the things you think you may not understand, when you do need them, the Holy Spirit will guide you how to act on it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
Well, the reason I brought it up was because most everybody in this room had been in another church or somewhere on lesson and heard that the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you when you read the scriptures, God's just going to show you what it means. No, it doesn't work like that.
You got to be approved.
You got to study to show yourself approved, and you've got to understand that the only thing that interprets scripture is other scripture. God's Word, it goes back to what we just read in Proverbs. God's Word is pure. Every word of God is pure. And He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. How many times have you been studying your Bible and you come across something that appears on the surface to say something different than what you read last week?
Yeah, it's slipping. The word is slipping.
A lot of times.
And the only time you're going to find out what it really says and what it really means is when it agrees with all the other scripture in the Bible. And that will not happen except when you get right down to the exact. Yeah, and there's a bunch of that. I could give you so many examples of that, but go ahead, John.
Where you were talking about, some believe that Solomon wrote this, and some say, well, since it says, I've neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. When Solomon prayed for wisdom, he prayed for wisdom to rule so
that's right.
So he prayed for worldly wisdom. And when you say, he could say, I neither learned wisdom, because in his old age he'd become a disgruntled old man.
That's a good point.
Well, that was spiritual wisdom.
Yeah. He not only came a disgruntled old man, but I don't want to even talk about. Yeah. We're going to have to rate it M for mature to even talk about what he became. So.